Welcome to Faye's Knowledge. If you're interested in learning about business, marketing, and personal development, this podcast is just for you. And I say it's just for you because in order to fail, we have to be willing to try. And once you try to do things for yourself, now you're learning and gaining the experience for yourself, which turns into knowledge. So this is the right podcast for you if you're looking for business, marketing, and personal development information, because now you have a chance to learn from others that have been through what you're currently going through or currently having experience, and this is the place for you to grow and develop to help become the best version of yourself. Subscribe to this podcast, and if you really enjoyed towards the end, leave a comment on your biggest takeaway from this specific episode, so that way we can deliver more content, more audio, more videos that can not only help you in your journey but can help propel you. And by propel, I'm actually saying that can help grow and push you forward in your journey. Again, welcome to Failure's Knowledge. Enjoy this episode, and please don't forget to subscribe and wait towards the end and leave a comment about this specific video, your biggest takeaway from this.
ISI is an acronym for Iron Sharpens Iron. So this book was the first one that was published, which you have, Unlocking Potential. How to fit all of that into being me, being authentic, being the best of me, the worst of me, putting it out there. You're in a position to educate and teach. And each time you pick up new things, there's new lighting tricks, there's new editing tools.
And the only word that he wrote was the, T-H-E.
That's exactly how it can be. That's exactly how it can be. You having a chance to put out your story, your creativity, your fantasy, where you would love to be. It's you creating art.
What does failure is knowledge mean to you?
It's not over. Your story is still being written. It's still evolving.
So again, Tony, I appreciate you for coming on to the Failure is Knowledge podcast. I got one question for you. ISI Publishing?
Okay. I appreciate that. So ISI is an acronym for Iron Sharpens Iron. For those who have a spiritual appreciation, Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so shall a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. So it's ISI Publishing. It was previously ISI Consulting, which I'll flesh that out in a minute. But because I want my content that I create, be it a speech, be it a podcast like we're doing now, be it my writing, shameless plug, they're over there in the corner. We'll get to that later too.
And right behind me too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I appreciate your support. And so it's just about whatever it is I'm trying to put out in the universe, is my prayer that the Lord uses me as a vessel in some regard to be a conduit of uplift or encouragement for someone else. So that's the iron sharpens iron, across swords meeting in the middle, that we are better by virtue of our engagement with each other. So yeah, I've always been proud of that. Once I got that jewel in my head, and when it came time to rebrand my consulting and then ultimately the publishing, that just carried for me, because that's carried forward for me, because that's universal. That's never gonna go anywhere from my spirit.
And I can tell just off the title, the name of the book is Unlock Potential, Insights, Tips, and Strategies for Young Black Professionals. The interview that you sent me yesterday of you speaking with, the gentleman, I forgot his name.
Anthony Denmark from the Becoming JD platform. So shout out to my boy Tone out there doing great things, ensuring spaces for Black and Brown students to have access into the legal profession and remove their own personal barrier. So shameless plug. I'm be shameless plugging all throughout. I'm sorry. But I appreciate what that work his brother is doing, just like yourself. But anyway, now that I completely derailed your question, go.
No, you're absolutely okay. There's no need to say a shameless plug, because if it's something that you believe in, just plug it in. Just talk about it. Just speak about it. It's not shame. It's not shameless. Yeah. Because if you didn't appreciate what you was doing, you would be doing what you are currently doing right now. So don't be ashamed about plugging in everything that you're doing. As I was watching the podcast interview, he's talked about representation. And representation as a Black community is very limited, because different careers, different professionals, we are very limited based off the people that we see. Why is representation so important to you? And how do you really inspire others to believe in themselves?
Well, I'm going to be redundant about ISI, about iron sharpening iron. for me in my life, and you know this story, so I'm saying it for others, a first generation college graduate, obtained my undergraduate, my master's, and my law degree, practiced as an attorney. At this point in my 9 to 5, I'm a director over housing and community development for Cuyahoga County. Our county, to give some context, one, is the largest county in the state of Ohio. Two, our county itself is larger than about 7-8 states individually, not collectively, but just our county is larger than some of these states. So it's a lot of effort, attention, intentionality that's necessary to provide for those citizens. And so I'm blessed to be in that position. But again, all of that in the beginning is my mother's son, my grandparents' grandson, this little kid, chubby, curly afro, hand-me-downs that didn't believe in themselves. And then by virtue of people pouring into me, my exposures, my experiences, I've been blessed to be in a space to pour into others. So that comes from direct engagement. That comes from, you never know who's watching you. I won't know everybody that's ever sees this podcast unless you tapping me into the analytics, which I doubt. So having said that, I don't know who else will see it. So I'm going to be me. I'm going to praise God and I'm going to cuss in the same breath because that's the child that God has created. Probably not the same breath, but it's going to happen in the same podcast. And that's just me trying to do my part to be authentic and to let people that identify with any of my lanes. Obviously, we're both veterans, United States Marine Corps, hoorah.
Simplify.
Hoorah. So someone will identify with that. We connected off of that immediately, above and beyond being Black men in this space where we're trying to pour out into the world. So all of those things, the way I show up, I'm a member of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, greatest fraternity in the world. Everybody else, you know, hi, y'all find Divine Nine, but I'm the bruhs. I got to show up in that space. So all of these things are tentacles that attach to the nucleus that makes up me. And so it's incumbent upon me to represent in all of those capacities to try to be, again, some level of edification, or let my works be an edification of the Father. Let me represent my family, myself, and then let others see themselves in me. And, you know, consistent with failures, knowledge of things that I've faltered on and I've grown from and grown through, all of that, that's that representation. So, yeah, it's quintessential to me. It's at the crux of me to represent for us, whatever us is.
And you're definitely doing that because, one, we've been knowing each other for maybe underneath a month. And that was my first time, me and my wife, first time visiting Cleveland. Yeah.
And welcome to come back. We got a room for you.
We appreciate that. Yep. We'll definitely be back for sure.
Yep.
And growing up in Little Rock, Arkansas, my mentors were men because I grew up in a single parent household and my mama raised 3 boys by herself. And during that time, it's like, how do you go and find men or Black men or examples to be a part of? I played football. I went to like a program called the OK program.
Okay.
Went to different places trying to find a mentor to show like that you can be successful in different fields, different careers, different professionals. Somebody who looks like you can be successful. They can be happy. They can have a family. And when I came across you, you start talking about the struggle. You start talking about how you was raised, how you was brought up, what you were around. Then you even had one of your mentees there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, now I respect you even more because, one, based off your story and how you are spreading your knowledge towards others.
Mm-hmm.
What encouraged you to publish your book? What encouraged you to get to publish and say, hey, somebody needs to hear this, but it's only so much that I can say. Let me start publishing a book.
So to your question, what put me in this space? So it goes back to, again, just wanting to represent, wanting to put myself out there. My undergraduate is in English. I did speech and debate when I was in high school. I wrote for the school paper, things of that nature, as well as trying to work sports, things of that nature, all collectively. So in that space, I started first working. So this book is the first one that was published, which you have, Unlocking Potential. There's a second book called, Overcoming Imposter Syndrome, You Belong at the Table. And the writings, interestingly enough, kind of began out of that imposter syndrome. I started writing, and I don't really, to this day, now that I think about it, I've never thought about it this way as I'm articulating right now. I don't realize what made me first start putting fingers to keyboard, now that I think about it. I don't know what gave me that hubris, that arrogance to try it. I only remember what the experience felt like once I was in it. And so the first book I started working on, and I'm intent on finishing it in 2027, is called ultimately Raising Jeremiah. And Raising Jeremiah has a wealth of autobiographical points from my life that I was drawing on to create this character, to create his world, to create his experiences. And I wasn't mentally equipped for that journey. I wasn't in a place where I had addressed all of my own traumas, the traumas that I generated from my neighborhood. Very East Cleveland was where I grew up, one of the poorest communities, not only in the state of Ohio, but across the nation. And I wasn't ready to process all of that. But at this point, again, this spirit, this concept was in me to put pen to paper, or fingers to keyboard, as is more realistic now. And so I started thinking about what else could I write about. And so being being a man of Omega, I spent a lot of times with my brothers. I was thrust into leadership very early on into my journey as an Omega. I spent a lot of time mentoring my younger brothers. And I started getting frustrated with the redundancy in which I would speak to people, and it seemed like it wouldn't generate. It wouldn't resonate, actually, is a better word. And so as time went on, I started writing it down. I started writing down things about being cognizant of your branding, being cognizant of your education, entrepreneurship, appearance, authenticity, networking, mentoring. What's the difference between a mentor and a sponsor? So all of these things started becoming chapters, but they weren't cohesive. So I first started working on Raising Jeremiah in 2014. Mind you, for anybody watching this, this is now 2025. So that's 11 years. Between 14 and 16, I just kind of meandered my way through it, touching it here occasionally, not intentional. 2016 is when I just put it away. I still save it. I still have it to this day with the intent on, like I said, I want to finish it in 2027, but it won't be 2027 because I already have five other books that are in various stages of development right now. So that one will be the sixth or the seventh. So that's why I project out 2027. But anyway, so over the course of those years, again, not intentional, but I'd work on it, put a little bit of it here and there. It was originally called, most of its life, Professionalism 101, just giving people foundational tools to catapult them. And then I started realizing, again, I'm gonna resonate, the word intentionality resonates with me often. So I said, let me talk from my authentic lens as a Black professional, albeit not as young as I used to be, but my viewpoint was still born from that youth. And then that's where this book came from. And I spent a good 2 years, kept getting frustrated and put it back away because I couldn't make it all gel together. And then somewhere around 23, the spirit spoke to me and I was like, I was overthinking it. Just put it alphabetically. And that's how it's set up now, alphabetically, with a clear disclaimer up front that some of these things, concepts, terms you're going to hear are going to repeat themselves because everything isn't chronological. Everything doesn't fit into a neat category. A lot of little things intersect. And so between 23 to 25, I got it polished off. started becoming at that point focused. There was timelines. We were in Vegas for New Year's last year, and I told everybody, I'm not coming out until I hit publish on Amazon and Ingram Spark. And then I put out this post to the world that is now available on pre-order. And so for that reason, people were mad at me. My wife was mad at me. She tried to figure out how to help me. And I did. Before it was midnight here on Eastern Standard Time, I hit those buttons. And then I already started working on the second book, Overcoming Imposter Syndrome. I already have the outline for the third book in that nonfiction space. And that's the one that'll drop later. But now I've started working on a whole different genre in which I'm getting to have fun. And again, authenticity. So I'm working on a multitude of different series and characters called The Vault, which is an erotic short story series. So we're moving forward with that. I'm talking with my team, picking through ideas, about to start spending some time thinking of some cover designs. So I've kind of taken this question too far, but that's the beauty of editing room. Knock yourself out. You own this intellectual property. So it's really just figuring out how to fit all of that into being me, being authentic, being the best of me, the worst of me, putting it out there and letting other people do what they want with it. Because once I put it in the universe, it's no longer mine. It belongs to y'all. And so all of that is interconnected, but it was born from a space of wanting to say something, not being equipped to say it, and then doing the work to know how to say it, and then to put it out as a finished product for the world to consume. And that's where we are now.
And I'll tell you this. My bad. Go ahead.
Go ahead. That was it.
And I'll tell you this. The interview that you sent me yesterday with Anthony. Mm-hmm. Wait, both of y'all names are Anthony?
Yeah. Complete coincidence. We're both Anthony's first generation lawyers. We both got either kicked out or asked to leave or left on our own college and here we are now. So yeah. God puts people in your life in different seasons and reasons. So he gave me you in the last month or so. He gave me Anthony in the last month or so. And now I'm just blessed to grow with and alongside y'all. So yeah, it's serendipity. That's all. Same way, we're both veterans, serendipity.
Yeah. Okay. See, yeah. That is great serendipity. Yeah. As I was watching the interview and hearing your story based off of another platform and how you were sharing, both of y'all said people don't see the work that you're doing, but they see your success that you are accomplishing. Mm-hmm. The work that you're doing is so important because people don't see the grind. People don't see the heartaches. People don't see the failures. People don't see the commitment. People don't see the dedication. People don't see none of that. But yes, they see you at the end when the book is published, when the book is finished, when the book is already out on KDP, where they can go and purchase the book. Mm-hmm. But the grind is what makes the book mm-hmm. what it is today. When you go through the grind, why isn't it important to talk about the failures that you have experienced?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying not to be redundant, but again, so much of it is at the nucleus of me. Is that, again, if people, I mean, and you and I first met in a position where we were authority speaking into people. So someone could presume if we don't share our story, then that's all they see. That put together professional. Ironically, I don't know if we were brainwashed, but we both had on blue shirts. I mean, white shirts, blue suits. You know, they see that and like, oh, okay, you come from that pedigree where you learned all that. And I ain't learned none of it. I didn't learn none of it, but I have learned it now. And so it's important for me to put that out in the universe because not likening myself to the Lord at all, but I think of the scripture that if I be lifted up, I can draw all men to me. And so when you're put in a position that you have a platform, you have a voice, you have been blessed to actually say something, then again, it belongs to the universe now. So you have a responsibility, especially as people that have endured things, that have had rejection, that have had failure, that have had shortcomings, transgressions. Once you identify that trauma and you learn to navigate it, it's never gone. The book ain't called Goodbye Imposter Syndrome. It's overcoming. It could have been navigating it, I guess. I don't know how many times yesterday, as people were asking me, how's the new role treating you? Because I'm only 3 months in to an extremely high profile role. And just this week, the imposter syndrome finally subsided. Just this week, because I turned in my budget presentation, and other than questioning a few numbers, which I knew the answers to, that's it, it's done. I told the leadership team, to give context, here's the executive, here's my chief, here's me. So I'm like at the top, if you would, humbly speaking. I'm starting turning in my recommendations for the next 2, 5, and 10 years. And people are like, this is good. Let's talk about it. Let's flush it out. How do we do this? The timelines, I'm telling you, I'm gonna do this. And it's a 5-year plan. In that second year, 2.5, I'm gonna do a strategic plan so that that way we can communicate out what's the next 10, because we've done proof of concept. And so all of those things are part of showing up, because people see that part. You know, if you remember the movie, what's that movie? Finding Fish, which was Antoine Fisher. And it's Denzel's actual directorial debut. Great film. Yep. It was actually filmed here in Cleveland. Antoine Fisher was from Cleveland, which was just coincidence, but loved the book, loved the movie. But I bring that up because it was a scene when he finally started, the main character finally started opening up, dealing with his trauma, being vulnerable and communicating with someone. And he said, but I'm still standing. I'm still strong. And so that reverberates for me. So it's important to be vulnerable, because then I'm going to bond with someone else. My wife uses a term, trauma bond. She just used it last night about a situation she's dealing with. I won't speak on that on air, but there is a certain trauma bond. Again, you and I, Marines, we were in it in two very distinct periods of time. I'm old enough to be your dad, if I remember correctly.
So yeah, I'm 26,
and I'm 53. So you weren't in daddy's war, but you still have the remnants of Afghanistan, Pakistan, things of that are still going on. Trauma bonded, you know. So I'm being unnecessarily long. The point being is that it's very important for me to be vulnerable about it, so that way people don't think it's just by happenstance or silver spoon, pedigree, whatever. It's been none of that. And I still have to work hard at what I do. I still have to talk to my village. We still may go somewhere. I got to kick it with one of my counterparts a few weeks ago who's newly in a role comparable to mine. And we're having cigar and drinks, but we're sitting there talking about our hood identity. But we're also both directors and major. He's a director in Franklin County, which is the second largest county in Ohio. That's what Columbus is. And we're just being real. We just kicking it, right? We just kicking it. And people need to see that. People need to see that. It all goes back to the start of your question about representation. You just got to be you. Put it out there and let the world come get it. If they mean good for you. To the extent they mean you harm, you got to back them up a little bit. But if they mean you well, you can be a safe space for them, or it can be reciprocal, then you got to bring them in. Draw all men to me, like Christ said.
And I recently started back reading the Bible today, and I started on Ephesians 5, and I read verse 1 all the way up to verse 30, I believe. Okay. And then I had changed it to the King. The first time, I forgot the different Bible.
King James is most common.
King James, but it's one that's simple. Like, it's simple without the thou should not, shall not, you should not. But anywho, as I was reading it, I was like, oh, wait, you really have to study the Bible and really understand more about yourself to see how they can bond together. The trauma bonding is so important because if you don't know yourself, how can you connect with the next person? How can you make a difference with the next person? Because you mentioned us being in the Marine Corps, and that's two different times. Nonetheless, the same thing that you probably experienced in boot camp, I probably experienced the same exact thing. And then we just go along the journey of figuring out who we are. Then we go to our job, then we go to our place, then we go to our station, and so on and so forth. Yep. You don't succeed if you never go through anything.
Yep.
And I always speak about failure and how when me and my wife, we got together, I believe we was trauma bonding because we already knew each other.
Okay.
But then we start to express that both of us have similar backgrounds, such as like I went through a divorce and she went through a divorce. It wasn't the fact that was bad. It was more so, well, this is what I learned.
Yeah.
This is what I experienced. This is what I'm overcoming.
Yeah.
And when we start talking, it was like, oh, you went through the same thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
That trauma bonding builds a connection.
Yeah.
And the connection builds a relationship, and the relationship makes a difference for others. Now I understand why representation is so important, because you are being the example where other people can follow, what they can learn from, and they can really support, because you're not just talking about your life from a book.
Right.
You actually put your life in a book.
Right.
And people don't recognize that it really takes time to really get comfortable with sharing your story, with being authentic, with being vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, as a man, vulnerability, it's not cool, but you make it cool. When you open it up and expressing to yourself, how can I, let's just say I'm a new author, or I'm looking to be an author. And I come to Tony, I say, hey, Tony, listen, I'm looking to write a book, and I have no idea where to start. Well, how would you guide me to starting to write a book?
Let me approach that a couple of ways. Let me go back first and acknowledge you just said a lot, and I'm not going to allow us to just go past it. You dropped a lot of gems just then. Let me point out, one, I didn't know your wife had been previously married as well. So I didn't know that. So I agree. That makes it even easier to, in my opinion, to bond on that, because you understood what went wrong in the past and you want to bring it together and work that doesn't happen again. Both Carmen and I have been married before as well. So that was our experience. We had, and again, us being a little bit older, having more time to go through things, not suggesting what we went through was greater, but we've had more time to go through more. And so that helped us understand a lot how we needed to move in our marriage. But you also said something, and I'm not going to allow you to just give me my flowers without acknowledging yours, that here you are relatively half my age, but yet you're on a public platform. Like, it's, failure is taboo, right? Especially as a Black man, you don't acknowledge it. But here it is right there. That's literally your platform. Failure is knowledge. So in order to convey that, for people to give you any, for you to have credibility and them take you serious, you got to share what your failures, and I'm going to keep doing it in air quotes because I got a different perspective. Let's remember to touch back on that. But what you've overcome has given you foundation to not repeat the same experiences, transgressions, so forth and so on. And so again, with you opening up and being vulnerable about it, even with the content you've been putting out over these last few weeks, it's like, hey, y'all, I did all this great stuff. And it was great stuff. I had a few setbacks and I'm rebranding. But even in the rebranding, I'm being very humble and transparent and starting from scratch. So again, here you are doing the exact same thing. So I'm not going to allow you just to give me my flowers as if I'm doing something revolutionary when you aren't doing the same thing.
I appreciate that.
Uh-oh, hold on. I'm having some technology issues. Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can.
Something just happened here. You hearing the feedback? No, I think it's on.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Let me unplug my Surface because okay. That's what it seems to have been lately. How do I sound?
Sound a lot better.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see. Failure is knowledge.
Fail on the spot.
Yep, I done had enough issues with this computer to know that, you know what? Yeah, at certain points, stop letting it plug in. Anyway, I digress. So again, salute to you for being vulnerable in your craft as well and being open to learning in your craft as well. But to your question, yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, take your victory lap, bro. Take your victory.
I appreciate that.
Take your victory lap. But to your question about how would I encourage someone in their book writing, I think regardless of where you are in that journey, I would first speak to 2 Timothy, you know, study and show thyself approved, you know, get into your craft, learn it, be humble in it, and spend time in other spaces and places, figuring out how to be better. You know, I as a female friend of mine, of my wife's and I, who told me at one point she wanted to write a book, and that's the good stuff. You know, we kind of left it there. And I didn't appreciate at the time that she had already been spending a lot of time on it. So I was humbled at a later time when she asked me to read her manuscript. And I read it, and it wasn't.
What is a manuscript? My bad.
I'm sorry. A manuscript is essentially the drafts of your book. You know, it's the draft. So this one, and I don't like, I use an editor. I use a formatter. Even though I have certain skill sets, there's some things I give to others. You know, this book cover, designed it with insights from my wife. This book cover designed it as well. Whereas the third book I'm working on in the nonfiction space, I had an idea, I could not produce it. And so I ended up ultimately hiring one of my bros who's a graphic designer and previously worked for a publishing company. And I don't have that. It's not done. And I don't want to waste time trying to pull it up, but I'll share it with you should you want to embed it anywhere. But that third book in the nonfiction space is called Fitting 25 into 24, Time, Energy, and Boundary Management for High Achievers. So tying that back, study yourself approved. I knew what I wanted to do. I knew what I was capable of, but I ultimately appreciated what my capabilities and my limitations were. So I used somebody who I could express my vision to. I could sketch it out in a mock-up. I could talk it through intelligently because I understand the buzzwords. And he created a phenomenal product for me. I'm getting ready to do the same thing now with trying to conceptualize what will be an attractive and monetizable cover for the Vault series that I'm coming up. So as I'm working on mock-ups, I'm going to put it out there, and I'm going to put it out there to the social media world, and I'm going to ask them for their input. I already talked to one of my bros that's a mentee, that's a fellow author, and he's read some of it, and so he can conceptualize it. I said, let's collaborate on this cover designs, you know, where we're giving credit to each other respectively where we are. And so, and that's a little more high level. To step it back again, you have an idea, go out there, learn your craft, be focused on what your vision is that you want to communicate, and take it seriously. I'm a person that I believe in mentorship. I believe in sponsoring, but I also believe in holding people accountable and making sure that they do their own work. So I'm not a ghostwriter. I'm nowhere near that place. I don't know that I ever want to be in that place, but I'll sit down and I'll talk with people and I'll share whatever I've learned. One of my good friend, Sam Pruitt, is a healthcare advocate. He's a heart attack survivor. He's working on his book. He'll send me questions all the time at any kind of hour of the night about the mechanics of moving from concept to publishing, and he's doing it. So I see it. You know, he's actually now has created his website, his platform. He recently shared his cover design in his newsletter, not just to me, but he's putting it out into the universe. So again, he's studying, he's showing himself approved. So that's really what it is for me. There's a lot more technical things, but I feel like that's a different space and place than what we're talking about. And then people have also told me I should try to start monetizing that skill set, but I ain't there yet, as I'm too excited about the opportunity to be creative to try to find another stream of income by trying to take clients on in that space. So, but to the young lady, I do want to touch back. She shared the manuscript. I gave her some feedback and she took it to heart. And so she's now working with other people. She's getting closer to the editing phase. She has people working on cover designs with her, and she's gone out to what's known as beta readers. And that's people who start reading your product before it's even going into finished editing. So where I'm at now, I'm starting to look for beta readers for the vault because I have myself on a stringent timeline that December 1st or before I want to hit send, and I'm sending that product out to people so I can start getting their feedback. And then I'm taking it in, I'm incorporating, and then I'm back talking to my editor early January, early February. So it's, again, there's a method to the madness, and very regimented in that regard, but still find an opportunity for creativity within the regimen. So that was a lot. That was a mouthful.
It's not a lot. It's not a mouthful. It's enough to get the information out. You said this was the third time you said that. I won't go say that the first time or the second time, but the third time I had to say something. As far as like you communicating, it doesn't matter how long it take you to communicate. Just communicate, because what's happening is that so many different memories are coming to your mind. And you're expressing that, and everything that's coming out is helping you put together your thoughts. So don't be afraid to be long-winded, because the long-windedness will help you create the response. So that was great. That was great what you said. You was like long-winded. I was, no.
You keep sending I'm sorry's on the text message and I keep fussing at you. I'm gonna remind you of that too.
Good. What you say, iron sharpens iron.
Accountability and partners.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the only way we grow, when we are able to take criticism, sir, and apply the knowledge that we just received.
Sir.
And it's so incredible, because when people come to you and be like, hey, Tony, I want to publish my book, you have a process to help them, because you see yourself in their shoes.
You're right.
In their shoes, because doing something for the first time is challenging. Okay, what about the second time? It's a little more, it's not as challenging as the first time, but when you continue to do it more often than not, you have a gap from people who have never published a book. When you're communicating with people, you say, I'm going to close this gap to help you launch your book or to help you publish a book. And this is how you do that. So that means that your mentee has to be coachable, right?
Yeah. Or to be a podcaster.
Mm-hmm.
Been doing this a long time, but now you're in a position to educate and teach. And each time you pick up new things, there's new lighting tricks, there's new editing tools, you said you got a new mic. That's a dope looking mic, by the way.
I appreciate it. Hold on, let me turn it to the side.
Yeah. I'm gonna ask you offline what that costs. I ain't gonna ask you, but it looked like an investment.
Yes, it was. I don't mind sharing if you want to know.
Yeah.
It was $299.
Oh, Jesus.
Let me show you the difference. It's plugged in now. Make sure it's still. Hold on. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you, but it's definitely a vast distinction in the crispness.
Yes.
But that's a great trick to the, not a trick, but that's a great tool to the trade, because to the uninitiated, they might not realize it. And I wouldn't have necessarily understood the difference had you not juxtaposed, but I've been on enough of these platforms that as soon as you unplugged it, before you even said, like, can you hear me now? As soon as you said that, I heard it and it wasn't as crisp and it was a subtle echo. Are there tools on the back end to clean it up? I'm sure. But why clean up the second time what you could do right the first time? So, yeah.
Yes. So it was definitely an investment. I have a previous microphone from this one, and I tested the computer microphone, then I tested the other microphone, then I tested this microphone. I was like, oh, you hear the difference.
Yep.
When there's no microphone, you hear everything, the air conditioner, the dryer, the doors opening. And then when I plug in the other microphone, you still hear everything, but not as much as it is without. But when I plug this one in, the background noise is eliminated. I was like, oh, that's different.
I can't
it's
even hear
different
your wife cussing you out right now.
Yeah, so that's different. So yeah, it's definitely an investment, but I'm glad you asked, because people just see this, be like, oh, well, you started with this.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I started with my phone.
Right.
And a half a decade ago, when I started my phone, I just started recording, trying to figure out how to podcast. Just like you started with your publishing, you started with one word at a time.
Yep.
I don't know if you remember that SpongeBob episode when he sat down to write a paper, and the scene went on, and the only word that he wrote was the.
That's exactly how it can be. That's exactly how it can be. I get it. You know what? When you say that, okay, now I need to add a little more to the last answer, because it would be, I think, a bit disingenuous. Everybody, to your point, everybody has their own style. I am a outliner. I create, now that I'm going into the nonfiction space, I'm actually creating visuals. You've seen that we talked about what I'm doing, creating some of those those characters, and putting it on social media, start attracting attention. For me, that's all part of the outlining. That's part of the outer shell. Because now when I sit down, and I had about 2 hours of uninterrupted, well, it wasn't uninterrupted, Carmen was next to me, but I had 2 hours worth of writing, and I started it with realizing what these two characters look like. I already have outlined their background, so I'm able to cut pieces and parts from their background or just look at it, and I've already know where I'm going. So now I'm just filling in the dots. So I think that structure, that organization is invaluable. It's not everybody, but I encourage people, especially the way I learned as an attorney and the way I think as an attorney, even though I'm still trying to go back to that creative space, I can't unerase how I learned. And so for that part, I do want to augment that answer with a little bit more of my process of, again, being organized and then filling in the dots. And now that's just it. Most of the research is done. I know who these characters are. I know their origins. I know their motivations. Now it's just communicating. It's putting in, what does this person drive as someone who wants to present themselves as being that guy, but really he's a used car salesman. But in this 5-to-9 world, he's this facade. I was thinking of that as I was writing yesterday. You know, what does Evan drive? What does Evan say? What does Evan do when he first sees Misty? I'm dropping breadcrumbs here. You know, and
no shameless plug. No shameless plug.
Nope, I didn't say it. I just said, I'm even dropping names at this point, you know. So I would be remiss if I didn't augment that. But us just talking about the evolution. I was reaching over here. I was trying to find my little cheap microphones. And I carry stuff around like this in a bag all the time. You know, this is the actual package. You know, there's about two mics in here. There's the little plug, bass and thing.
I think I know which one you got. Let me see. Yep. Mine sound horrible. I hate mines.
I use mine, but I run it through CapCut usually.
And then you edit, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So depending upon, but that's why we talked about me always wanting a little bit of music in the background.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily to hide it, because I normally isolate the voice or I extract everything else out. So, but, you know, my wife wants to get into podcasting at some point, but I told you before, that's just going to make me have to do it. So that's why we ain't there yet. So we haven't tricked it out all like that, but I'll be looking forward to, I'm going to be leaning on you at that point about how trying to set up the space. I just ordered a green screen this morning because I was trying to do a backdrop for this, and I ultimately was like, I don't like how it looks. It's not professional enough. So that's why I'm just using just my regular space. But yeah, so iron sharpens iron, bro.
Iron sharpens iron. And to be honest, you have a nice background. You just said something about a green screen. When I was staying in Little Rock, Arkansas, every day I used to get up, go to the living room and record content. Man, I had a black screen that was wrinkled behind me.
Gotta iron it.
No, I didn't even iron it. I just went live and started recording the podcast. But nonetheless, that's a part of the journey. I get it, like the professionalism is good. But that alone, your background is key because it shows you. It shows your family. It shows your purpose. And like the green screen is going to take the value from that because now it's like it's too professional.
Yeah. No. And I remember us talking about that, about the importance of just getting out there. So no, that green screen won't be all the time.
Okay.
But it's in trying to figure out how could I, like I had created this virtual background where it had the two books, it had the backdrop of an office, two books sitting on the corner of the desk. Over here was the logo, my title, and the QR code to my Linktree.
Gotcha.
You know, and all that's great and all, but I agree that it has to be a balancing act between spending too much time on the content and just putting yourself out there. Because it'd be some of the posts that I spend the most time on to get goose eggs. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stop spending money to push this out because it ain't getting any real traction, any authentic traction anyway. You know, I got a post later on. It's completely out of character for me, but there's something that I'm going to record from the bathroom because I feel like I want other people to realize this thing that annoys the hell out of me. I just feel I need to talk about it.
Turn your setbacks into success. And that's what's so important, is that you are showing the real you throughout your books, throughout your publishing, throughout not just you being a lawyer, but just your hold on. Let me see if I got it correct. Hold on. Author, speaker, attorney, public servant, Marine Corps veteran. Did I leave some out?
It's Wholesome Q is out there.
Wholesome Q. Cannot forget that.
Yeah, the Wholesome Q. And then obviously, you know, a family man, and I don't necessarily always incorporate that into the communication. It comes out in the communications, but I'm not trying to commodify the family. If you're in a space where we're talking to each other and you're learning about me and we're sharing and that comes out, but, you know, I'm a father, grandfather, husband, obviously, and that's part of the story. But the branding is different, if that makes sense.
Make a lot of sense.
Because if you're listening to what I'm saying, you're watching what I'm putting out, if you read what I've wrote, then you see that part. You see us with our granddaughter, with our kids. You see me and a wife all the time. We'll be suited. Last night, we were suited and booted for a gala, but we the first to act like some fools with a cigar and a drink, even though she's an attorney. I think I mentioned it before. She's an attorney also. She's actually a shareholder. So she's one of two owners in her firm. So she's doing the damn thing. And she's first generation like I am. And as professional as she is, she doesn't take herself overly serious either. But every now and then the haze comes, like before we got on here, she's over there and she's asking me questions about life insurance and bank accounts. And I'm like, dude, it's not even noon. You ain't even had your coffee yet. She's like, you know what? That's fine. I'm going to put a business meeting. I looked on the calendar because we share calendars. I looked on the calendar February 16th. We're both free. We're going to have a business meeting. We haven't had that in a while. I was like, good. But then she still kept talking about that kind of serious stuff. I'm like, babe, podcast, got to go. Gotta go.
Yeah, but that's the family dynamic as well, because people don't see that. People think just because you're in a relationship, just because you and your wife are happy, y'all don't argue, y'all don't do anything. No, like, it's a relationship. You're constantly growing and developing with this person. So every day is not going to be great. Moreover, there's more great days than bad days. It's a relationship, you know what I mean? So it's a process behind everything. With the ISI Publishing, Iron Sharpens Iron Publishing, for people to really be encouraged to start writing the book, what is one takeaway that you can give for them?
I mean, people get, in my opinion, I've only been in this published space for a year now. It seems so much longer. It really does, but it's only been a year. And I feel like you have to understand your motivation. You have to understand your expectations. You know, I couldn't tell you microscopically, like from a fiscal analysis, if I've broken even. I'm sure I'm not. I'm sure I'm not. But I didn't go into it for that either. A lot of people get very discouraged. I've been to events where I didn't sell a single book, you know, and have traveled to go to it. Been there, it happens. Conversely, I've been in spaces where I was at a meet and greet with some brothers in the community last 2 weekends ago, and I ended up selling about 8 books without even trying. I just happened to have them in the car, and someone I knew mentioned how's the book sales, and it was like, oh, you know, that could have been an opportunity for marketing, sure, but I just was enjoying the space of the brotherhood, you know, men pouring into each other. But slightly off topic, but I say that to say that, again, this is something that augments who you are. It's you having a chance to put out your story, your creativity, your fantasy, where you would love to be. It's you creating art. You know, Basquiat wasn't as revered until after his death. You know, you look at John Grisham. His first book was A Time to Kill. Nobody liked it. It didn't get a lot of traction. The second book was The Firm. You got Tom Cruise out there. Oh, okay, let's re-release A Time to Kill, immediate bestseller. The first page in that book was one of the most compelling things I've ever read in my life. Had me crying on the first page. And it's the first scene in the movie. So I say that to say that you put your art out and hopefully the universe receives it. But be realistic in your expectations that they may not. So that's what I would want an author to be mindful of, that every time they sit down at that keyboard or they pull out that pencil, it's a labor of love for you. It's your, and again, your creator. You understand this fully. Sure, we want to be monetizable, but the basement, the foundation, the pillars, may not be where it's monetizable. It may not be until you've put every wing of the house, the shingles, and you've now finally created some ornate windows or lighting that people now realize, oh, this is beautiful. But that wasn't what you were thinking of at its inception. You just like, I want to build something, I want to create. Hope it's received, but if not, so be it. So that's what I would want people to be mindful of, that if you truly believe you have a story, whether it's for your own catharsis, whether it's for entertainment, whether it's to educate, a how-to, or how to do XYZ, stay mindful of that part and then use that to create your content, not just hoping that it's monetizable. So
that's powerful. That's powerful. And that came from your experience.
Yeah.
Not just a book. Even though you publish a lot of books or publishing a lot of books, they came from your experience that's inside of the books. And I appreciate your authenticity. So I have one more segment, and it's called the Best for Last segment. Sure. And it's where I ask you 4 questions and you answer the question underneath 30 seconds.
Okay. I don't think that 30 seconds was in the product in the description.
That's a surprise. That's a surprise.
You got it. I am pliable. I am moldable. Go.
First question. What are you grateful for?
Grateful for?
Yes.
My life. That I've been able to endure a lot, grow a lot, and it's got me to this place where I'm the most fulfilled I've ever been. So I'm grateful for everything throughout my life that's got me to this place.
Okay. That was underneath 30 seconds. Okay. 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 Next question. Yes. What do you have any regrets?
I do not. And I appreciate that question. That's the one I was really thinking we was going to get into, because if I say it's a regret, that presumes that the outcome was not the best outcome for me. You know, that's why I kept putting failure in quotations, because failure suggests that you have reached a finite position as opposed to it's a transition. So I have to be thoughtful and philosophical and answer that I don't regret anything, because whatever went wrong is what got me to this place. And who's to say that this place is not the best version of me that I'm capable of being in accordance with God's will?
Okay, you're absolutely right. Forgot to hit on the failure part. Nonetheless, your story's tied to failure to it. So I think we hit on, I think we hit it good. The next question is, what is your biggest takeaway while having the business of ISI Publishing?
Just being a voice. Being a voice. With the books right now, they're definitely more of a philosophical, educational space. I struggled with this other direction I'm going, if I wanted to go under a pseudonym, a fake name. And I said, no, I don't. I want to be able to blend all of it. When you see the serious, when you see the lawyer, you see the mentor, you see the goofy, you start seeing this dark storyline. It's all me. It's all me, and I'm unapologetic about it. If you can't rock with it, you can't rock with it. But it's cathartic for me. And so that's an opportunity to try to put something out into the universe that can helpfully uplift, encourage. There's a saying that I say, and I'll always keep saying this, from Tupac. He said, I might not change the world, but I guarantee you I will touch the life of the one that will. And so I don't know if I've already done it or if it's still to come. So that leaves the duty upon me to keep showing up as my evolving, authentic self. Whether I'm writing smut books, whether I'm writing uplift, whether I am sharing the gospel of Christ, is all that exists inside of me as this human flawed character. And I want to share with other people.
So. That's powerful. That, wow. That one right there. That one was powerful. And the last question, last question is, what does failure is knowledge mean to you?
Again, going back to it, I respect the brand, and I respect that we're saying the same thing about using your setbacks to guide you forward. But I try not to acknowledge the word failure because it's so finite. So I'm not suggesting rebranding. Go. But failure is usually a perspective that you have in the moment, as opposed to in hindsight, you realize, yeah, it was a setback. It was a challenge, a trauma, adversity. But it's not over. Your story is still being written. It's still evolving. So for me, that, hence why I said no regrets. Because that would suggest that I know better than what God has allowed play out through the exercise of my own free will in accordance with his. I'm going to say that that's the answer. And then I'm going to offer this so that way you can't say that I don't follow directions. So what I think about during the day, if I think about something, I'm not in the space to create it right then and there, at least write it down to reflect, to come back. So this post is going to say, in one regard or another, I get it. To many, God's will and free will is a paradox, but I spend too much time, trying to break it down and over-explain it instead of just appreciating that you're walking by faith, you're walking by sight in that space and not by faith. So just do it. And I was writing that as I was feeding the dog, and the dishwasher, the water was running. So I need to tighten it up. But bottom line is that it's a paradox. God's will, our free will, they work in concert. And just embrace that, even in the exercise of your free will, he already knows how it's going to play out. Or the creator. I want to be respectful of gender neutrality. The creator already knows how it's going to play out. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For without faith, it's impossible to please the creator. And the creator is a rewarder of those that diligently serve him. So just keep serving. Keep being that servant leader. And it will play out. It will play out as it's intended to play out with the infinite amount of variables that could exist with you going left when you should have went right, right when you should have went left or stayed straight. But it's all going to align with God's ultimate plan for you with the appreciation of free will. And so for that reason is why I don't really acknowledge the term failed or failure, because that suggests it's over, you know. And even if you're, even if you had, you went from alpha to omega, the cradle to the grave, you're done, you're dead, buried, moved on into however you reconcile what's next. Even when you're laying in that grave, your physical form is laying in that grave, you can't say that you unequivocally failed, because you don't know what your presence or even your absence from something has done to better a person and or the overall existence. So again, even in death, failure is not finite. Failure is not the finish line in my mind.
That's a great perspective. That's a phenomenal perspective to have. Okay, Tony, man, I appreciate it. How can people find you? How can they work with you? And how can they learn more about the ISI Publishing?
Sure. An easy answer, unless you're going to broadcast it across the stream. The easy answer is my website is www.isipublishingllc.com. But again, if we're putting it across the bottom, I have a Linktree profile, so that takes you to my website. It takes you to my LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, as well as to Amazon, where in addition to me selling my book personally, it's on Amazon, and a couple of other different things. I put events that are forthcoming on there, and you can also see on those platforms snippets and or full clips of various things that I've spoke at. So if you're looking for somebody for as I'm stumbling over my words, I'm telling people to call me as a keynote. I promise I polish. But as a keynote, as book clubs, virtual or in person, any of those things, you know, look me up. Let's connect. Let's build villages together.
And there's no shame in the plug. In fact, go another plug right here. So if you haven't purchased a copy for Unlocking Potential, Insights, Tips, and Strategy for Young Black Professionals, go to Amazon and purchase your book, or go to ISIPublishingLLC.com and purchase your book today, because this is a man that you want to learn from, who's godly, who's a family man, and who's on his purpose. So make sure you go get it. This was a great podcast. And Tony, again, I appreciate you for being on the Failures Knowledge Podcast. What was your biggest takeaway of being on the podcast?
I loved our conversation. I love authentic, authentic, comfortable, just dialogues. You know, I didn't have to come on and be the lawyer version of me. I didn't have to come on and be the public speaker. I'm just talking to my brother. And you cultivate that space where people, I mean, it's in the title, right? Failure is knowledge. So, you know, we're going to talk about some vulnerabilities. We need to have some transparencies. We need to have some catharsis, right? We gonna heal. We gonna heal and spread some good news in this podcast. And so I love being able to do that. And, you know, I got a t-shirt on. I didn't have to go put on my suit and tie. I don't have to black out my background. I can just be me. So I love you for creating that space for me and for your other guests. Appreciate it, brother. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the next question is, for someone that's hesitant to come on to the Failures Knowledge Podcast, what is one piece of advice that you can share with them to prepare in advance?
Honestly, I would tell you, don't over prepare. You know, whatever it is you're coming on to talk about, you know, don't put together a PowerPoint. Don't run with all these data and statistics. I mean, if that's what you need to engage in the dialogue with Brother Humphrey, then you do that. But I didn't come on and start talking about I mentioned East Cleveland, Ohio is where I'm from, and that it is one of the poorest communities. But I didn't come on and start giving statistics about that. You don't see an asterisk and a citation at the bottom. You know, what you see is that this was my perspective, and it helped me to build my space where I needed to grow and evolve, and what I brought with me in developing my path. Do that. Be authentic. Be yourself. Be vulnerable. Keep some tissue by you if you need to cry, whatever it is. Oh, and don't say shameless plug, because you're going to get chastised publicly and it's going to be recorded. So just be your authentic self. If you fumble, your tongue tied, whatever, if your dog is bothering you the whole time, just do it. Just do it. Just be you, be comfortable, and celebrate that Failure is Knowledge podcast is a space for you to be your authentic self and to put that out into the world to grow your business, your brand, your product. So that's it, bro.
That was perfect. I appreciate it. I'm going to stop recording again.